Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast, episode 99. I am Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello there, brother.
Hello, hello. Hello. All right, Devin, what are you going to do for quote number 99?
To listen well is as powerful a means of influence as to talk well, and is as essential to all true conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta listen well.
That's
about that, right? You know, it's like, be a good listener, that's a kind of a thing that right. People know, like, you must listen to what whoever's saying, whether it's your spouse or the people you're talking to. You can't just talk at people.
That's right.
The most annoying thing in the world, when someone just talks at you, not to you.
Yeah.
I like the point that it makes, a point of saying it's as powerful a means of influence as to talk well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, you're not just doing it to be like kind. To get what you want out of any conversation, you have to listen well, and to get some type of influence over the conversation or what you're trying to discuss. If it's something simple, then whatever. But
right,
if you want to have something get done, you should be a good listener.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is, yeah, like when you... Like, I think that angle, right? And understanding that being an active listener is just as important as being part of a conversation, right? Because you have to be able to fully grasp what's happening around you in that conversation. Like, right. You know, you're not going to, let's say, like a debate, right? You're not going to win someone else over if you don't know their perspective. Mm-hmm. If you don't listen to their side of the conversation, then you're only giving them, you have to be able to rebuttal something that's important to them based off what they said.
Right.
You know, so in any conversation, right, exactly. Just it's the importance of understanding what's coming from that other end of the conversation and understanding how to best approach how your rebuttal is, whether that's a positive or that's like a, you know, like I said, like a debate. It's important to be a good listener, an active listener.
Yeah. Active influencer. That's what an influencer is.
Right.
A good, well, not necessarily these days, but you know.
Yeah. But actually, no, really very much so, because, you know, that's an perfect example of like analytics, right? That's a good listener. Mm-hmm. That's someone who's listening to what the feedback is. You know, you're listening to the other side of the debate and you're understanding what your next portion of, you know, contributing to the conversation is in any part of life.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, you know, goes right back to school. You know, I'm back in school this week. You know, I had to tell someone today that they had to listen with their ears and their mouth. Talking and saying you hear me is different than, like, you just not talking and actually actively listening to me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's good. And, you know, makes sense with our podcast. Got people listening.
Yeah. There's a thing talking about these get-togethers, and any time you ever are out socially, whether it's to a bar or maker camp or something.
Right.
It's terrible when you get stuck in a one-sided conversation.
Yeah.
And they just yeah. keep talking at you, and you like you try to get a word in, but they don't even let you. You're like, dude, I want to work with you here. I'm trying to, but you're just bowling over my questions and like getting past it, like trying to like, oh, it's brutal.
It is, yeah. And the best conversations are the ones where both sides of the conversation are contributing and also responding equally, you know, showing interest in both sides of the conversation, making sure that it's an actual two-person or two-part or multiple part and not just one part. Like you said, that just like someone talking at you is like, ugh.
There's a great Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where they're at they do a lot of like dinner parties and get-togethers,
right?
And it's like a table, let's say, of like 10 people, and the two people in the middle of the table take over the conversation, but it's like a terrible thing that only those two are interested in. And then Larry David like gives a sign like to talk to someone, to like the host of the party. He's like, what are they doing? He's like, they keep saying he's a terrible middle. He doesn't know how to middle. So they don't know how to middle a table, which is, you know, you have to keep it open. You also have to pull in other sides, stuff like that. And you have to be able to hold this like a good story that everyone can relate to. So he like pulls them. He just comes in like Larry David way. Like, yeah, you know, you're not a good middle. You can't sit here. Like, what are you even thinking you can middle? What? Get out. Like, go down towards the end. Like, I love that term. Like, oh, you can't middle.
That's funny.
Isn't it funny?
That is, yeah. And I'm definitely a person who always wants to be in the middle. Like, because I feel like it's important that, like you said, like, you got to be able to play off both sides. You got to want to bring in the conversation around, like, bring in other people's perspectives, but then also know when there has, like, you know, there's a conversation going over here that might just stay over there, you know?
And also, if you middle, you don't get stuck on one side with something you don't want to talk about.
Yeah, right.
You can pick your side. Yeah. You have to.
You just, like, do that whole turn, like, I'm going back over here.
I'm going to talk to this side.
Over here, and then I'm coming back, and I'm going over here.
But you have to, everyone, we got to all try to be good middles and pull everyone into a con. That is such a, I don't know what it is, trying to pull, you need someone to do that.
Right.
Pull people into the conversation. Hey, you do that. What do you think? Like, just try to, because it makes it better for everybody. That's like a key party trick, like going out, having drinks, like pulling people in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and seeing who you kind of, you have a glimmer, like, oh, they'll be interesting, or they're laughing at the right things. Like, not that any of us are special, but it's like, oh, this person's really getting along with the group here. Like, I know they have something to say. So you, like, pull them in, like, yeah, what do you think? And then, or you know, make fun of them a little bit to try to, like, crack
warm
them out
of
it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You got to play that angle. You got to play the part, the host, right? You know, like, you get the one that can. It's funny, I think, who was it, I think it was Justin Dietrich that was saying that about you at Maker Camp last year. You know, he was like gonna go to bed at one point. You're like, oh, let me get you a drink, like, hold on. And then you're like pulling other people in and getting drinks, and you're keeping the conversation going. He's like, man, you're like the party guy, right? You're like the guy that gets everybody having a good time. I was like, yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you need some. If no one's doing it, I'll jump in and do it. That's not my first like go to is to try to be like the guy pulling people in. But if I see there's a chance for a good time, I'll try to nurture it, try to pull people in. Come on, where are you going? Out here, here. And I'm obviously, since I already probably had 10 beers myself, I was trying to get everyone I could to continue with me.
Right, exactly. Let's keep this party going. 2 o'clock? Nah, we got a few more hours to go. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like, I would, if I could choose, I would have, like, that I would have like round tables, you know, like whenever there's like a round table at a restaurant or a bar, and it's
nice.
Like the right size for everybody, you know, I'm like, cool, let's do that, you know, like that's like, again, like that, like, you know, another Larry David, but, you know, Seinfeld, when they sit down at the counter in the diner, you know, and they're like the sitting, whole... like everyone's next to each other, and they're like, who's down there? What, George, when did you get here? You know, like talking. Like,
yeah, the whole telephone game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear about
What's
Elaine?
What's going on?
Elaine died.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So I love the circle table, right? Because that's just everyone's in. Like, you can't be out of the part, out of the conversation, right? It's like small, like ideally it's small enough that everyone can contribute and there's no head of the table. There's no two different conversations. You know, it's like one.
Yeah.
Everyone's there having fun, having a good conversation. Like, I'll push like two rectangular tables together to make a square. Be like, all right, yeah. Here, let's sit here. Let's sit around in the square, you know, because like, let's make it one group rather than multiple groups.
Yeah. There's one great table in the back of the Orioles press lounge. That has kind of traditionally been like the productions table, because our old right. PA announcer, old Vietnam vet, like grizzled guy, he scares people away, but he's like the sweetest dude in the world. He used to hold it down. He'd get that spot for us, and we'd all keep that table. And now we kind of just adopted the table, but it's the only round table in the place.
Right.
Nice. And that's why we love it. You got a big round. You can fit like 6 to 10 people around it, you know?
Uh-huh. Really yep. Nice. Yeah, you make some extra room, squeeze some people in, you know, if they need to. Like, ah, we're good. Come on over. Like, be part of the conversation, right? Because that's, again, yeah, that round table, you all feel like you're, like, there's no head, right? You know, so it's everyone is just, like, equally part of the conversation.
No one has to middle. Knights of the round table.
Yeah, exactly. And then your middles are just, like, the encouragers, right? It's the people that keep things going. Or the people who will, like, who keep the conversation alive for the whole circle. And not just like two or three people on one side, you know, who are like just talking, you know, like, no, what's going on over there?
Like, that sounds interesting.
You laugh at their joke across the table. That's good. You know, like, contribute.
They're like, no,
it.
Stay on your side, pal.
What do you think about that?
You're too far. You're on the opposite side. You can't side the circle. This is our side.
I like that. The laugh break into a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I like that.
Now, you better know what we just said, or I'm kicking you out of this conversation. We'll just laugh your way in here, not knowing what's happening.
Nicole, my wife, is a. I would say she's not a good middle, because she doesn't have like a forceful presence, you know, and she's like her self. Like critique she said about herself multiple times, where like there'll be a conversation going and there's something that we're all talking about and there's something that she could like interject that's really good, but then she can't find the way to interject it while other people are talking, and then by the time she has a moment we're like past, like whatever we were talking about is already gone, you know, we're like all onto something else. She's like, dang, I missed my chance to like
interject a little. Being a quiet like older sister with just one sibling.
Right, exactly.
There's less time with four brothers. You're constantly fighting to slip in and interject and try to get a word in.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so we have a lot of practice.
Get that joke in, you know.
Battling other people at a table for... Don't let the group turn on you or it's lost.
Right.
You could be 100% right about whatever you're discussing, but if three other people... disagree with you or are making fun of your point, you've lost anyway.
You're done. Yeah, exactly.
You could be like, yeah, hey, the sky's blue. And they're like, Devin keeps going on and on about the sky being blue. Like,
know,
who cares? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
of course
I know,
the sky's blue. Duh.
It's just blue. Or maybe it isn't. Who knows? I'm like, no, it is blue. You're like, ah, shut up. It's, you've lost.
Too late now.
Like,
yeah,
all right, whatever. The sky's whatever you want it to be. Okay.
I'm out of the conversation. I'm going home. I'm done.
Fine.
Fine.
That out. Yeah. So anyway, just listen. Listen, I know we're Dustin and I have to listen to each other, and you guys all have to listen to us, I guess. So
yeah, well, if you're still here and you've been here from the beginning, we're on episode 99. One away from our big 100. And we keep like thinking, like, I was like, oh, I gotta do something big, you know, I gotta reach out to someone big, and then it's just been, I don't know, too busy, maybe not too busy, maybe I'm just too lazy, you know, to put that extra effort in.
And the really big ones I think we'd want to have are a little bit too out of range, even though we could ask them, but we don't necessarily have connections to certain people. Some we do, some we don't.
Right.
So it'd just be like a big ask, but also then, you know, it's, we're just going to do we think we can get it done, a Four Brothers podcast.
Yeah, Four Brothers podcast. No, Derek and Drew are both good, so. for next Thursday night, so we should be good.
And I was thinking, Dust, we should, you and I should hopefully do some type of trivia or a bunch of games.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
And then we'll pitch in stuff. a few prizes or something for, I guess, it'd be them playing against, or
well,
we just buy
Yeah, we'll just, you
know. Or we buy a bunch of gift cards to somewhere, and then maybe we get a few back if we, like, win the game.
Right, exactly,
like,
oh, yeah.
And I spent $50 on gift cards, but you guys got 20 of them. I got 30 back.
Yeah. And, you know, like, the other reason why I was thinking, you know, I kept thinking about different people to try to have on, but it was something about, like, having someone on only because it's, like, a significant number seems less to that person. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's a big thing. Like, you're here because it's our big thing, you know? And so you're the big. And then what about the other people? Like, you bring on someone later, like a couple episodes later, that's just as cool in your mind. And they're like, well, I wasn't the 100th, you know?
Right.
And 100th episode guest, you know? So.
And if we get someone new and bring them in, it's not, you know, they have nothing to do with it unless they did.
Right.
But, you know?
Right.
We should probably. The Brothers was a good one. We just didn't know if we could make it work, but it seems like we can. So.
Yeah. And that's such a fun thing to do. And we've had it for other big, like, you know, holidays and things. And that's a good, you know, like, let's bring that back. Right. And we've done a bunch over the 100 episodes where we've done like 6 or 7, maybe, with, you know, all 4 brothers at this point. And, you know, so it's a significant thing that we like to save for important, you know, events, like getting together to drink on St. Patrick's Day, or getting together to drink on 4th of July, or
getting together to drink on the 100th episode.
Yes, exactly. And that way it's fun. You know, we like it's special because it's all 4 of us, and, you know, that's it just goes back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So listen up for that next week. We'll get that going. We've been up to a bunch of stuff.
Since last time recording.
Since last time. Yeah.
So I think, I know when we were talking last week, we talked about, like, catching up on the, you know, breaking the bow, right? So that was a big one, right? We broke the bow. And at that point, I think by when we recorded last week for the podcast, I hadn't even started on the stave yet. I don't think I had, like, taken, maybe I'd taken the bark off. I'm not sure. But I don't think so. So since last Thursday, this is Thursday, you know, the episode will come out tomorrow on Friday. So since last Thursday we recorded, I've taken a raw stave from, I think it was raw all the way, you know, no even bark and everything, to a bow that is ready to start finish tillering. So, and not like that I did that every day, you know, it's like, so Friday we had dinner with our friends because their parents were in town. So we did that Friday night. So I didn't work on the bow Friday. Saturday I had a birthday party in the afternoon and then had a party in the evening. So I think I worked someone Saturday morning on the bow. Maybe that's when I was doing, like, taking the sapwood off, or bark or sapwood. And then Sunday morning I made the wooden axe, which I posted on Instagram. It got tons of likes, tons of comments, because it is a super fun and kind of an odd thing to make out of all wood, right? But I didn't you know, I didn't just, like, profile it. I made the handle and the head separately, the same way I've been doing the swords, so, like, the guard is separate.
Yeah, I was like, man, that's a really cool axe. Dustin's doing that instead of the bow.
Yeah.
that took some time.
Yeah, it did. I think that probably took me like 3 hours or so to do everything from, you know, like starting from raw wood all the way to the wrapping the leather and doing the, you know, and whatever, doing finish. Mm-hmm. I used axe wax, finished it with axe wax, and made a little belt holster. And I was making that for my buddy Sean's son, Emery, whose birthday it was. So made that for him because I made him a wooden sword at one point. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll make him another, you know, weapon for his sword belt. So he got a little axe. So I made that, and then we went to the party and we hung out there, you know, all afternoon and evening. And then Monday back to school for the first day. I know last week I was in, like, the week before school where teachers are there. And I talked about that a little bit, but started school Monday, and then Monday afternoon came home. And so at that point I had the stave ready to chase a growth ring. So I had taken off all the sapwood, so the light color wood on the outside of the bow underneath the bark. So I removed the bark, removed all the sapwood, and got down to the heartwood. And then so on Monday, I chased the growth ring completely. I profiled the bow, drew out the limbs, measured everything, cut it all, shaped it all down to kind of a rough tillering. So I had limbs that were ready to be heat bent. And then Tuesday, I spent a little bit more time shaping the limbs down, getting kind of to a point where I was comfortable bending them. And then all Tuesday afternoon, right? So I worked all day, came home, and from like 5 to 9:30 or something, or 10, worked on the bow and shaping it both nights. So Monday, Tuesday, working on the bow to the point where yesterday, when you came over on Wednesday, we were able to do a little little bit more touch up and then put the rawhide backing on. So with this bow, I'm doing the rawhide backing, just to add that extra level of security across the back of the bow. So I know that there's a really strong, you know, backing there that'll bind to all that wood and create a really strong, that's the back of the bow, the part that faces away from you when you draw. It needs to be a single, you know, consistent layer of something that's keeping all your strength and that's keeping the bow from splitting out and exploding again. So yeah, so we did that. So we glued on the back, glued on the you know, the rawhide, filmed that, you and I together, and had a little snafu along the way. So all this stuff, this like last week of hustle to get this bow ready to shoot again this week, I was filming along the way all the stuff. We figured we would do, you know, film a bunch of stuff and then Devin could clip together like a time lapse of 1 minute, you know. So broke the bow. We're not going to show an entire bow, another bow being built. We're going to show up to the point where we stopped, the broken bow. So, you know, I've been working that and got like a couple hours of footage. And, you know, Devin and I were looking at it. And the reason why we weren't looking at the footage, we were looking at the GoPro, because I had mentioned that I had briefly looked to see where time lapse was and I couldn't find it, because there's like a way to change the speed, but it's like a slow-mo, not a time lapse, and that's within the camera setting, within the video setting of the GoPro. So I'm looking around and I didn't look super hard, because again, when we went back to the whole thing where you were filming and you thought about doing it in time lapse but you were filming instead, and we actually caught the bow breaking on camera. Mm-hmm. Right. So every time I like spent more than a minute just kind of fiddling around, like the few times that I was looking to see if I could find the time lapse feature, I was like, whatever, I can't find it, I'll just shoot it again. Like there's enough room on the card that, you know, we're not going to hurt for footage if we have too much, you know, like you can always edit more down to a little bit. But so, yeah. So I had a decent amount of footage, like each kind of process that, like taking the bark, taking off the sapwood, chasing a growth ring, trimming the bow down, literally like everything. I had a few minutes, you know, of footage, like a few clips of 4 or 5, you know, maybe 3 minutes here, 2 minutes here, you know, move the camera around a couple different times, get different angles and things. So you have plenty of stuff to work with. And then we're taking a look through it and Devin decides all that's junk and he formats the card and we've got nothing. No, we were looking at it and you and I were looking together, like trying to figure out where the time lapse was, and we like hit this button. We hit it one point and it came up and it was like, you know, error, you need to either like the card needs to be reformatted to do this step. And then there were two options, cancel or format. And so like we did it once, and I hit cancel, and then like we're kind of fiddling around and we get back to it again and you're just like, and you go to like swipe it away or something. You're just like, no, that's not what I want. And you just hit format.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it
just like no time at all. It was like, and formatting, you were like, oh no. I tried to turn off the camera and it was like,
I know.
Gone, just gone.
It's now it's my fault totally, but I have to, the design usually, when you go to format something, it gives you a prompt that says, are you sure you want to delete all clips? It's reminding you, saying this is what formatting is. I already knew what formatting was, but they give you one extra clear thing saying, do you want to delete all clips, yes or no, after you hit something like that. So it's usually like three
there's
clips.
A fail safe, at least one, right?
And with
the
GoPro, it's got so many. If you haven't used it for a while, it's a lot of these swiping from left, swiping from up, swiping from down. It's a lot of these because it's just a touch screen. So if you don't remember which swipe is where, you're just trying to swipe through things and clear them.
To find
back, it. Yeah, back, right. Swipe out, swipe back. So I'm just trying to hit stuff and move it out of the way. And it, like, it did prompt me one thing, but...
Yeah, because you hit the thing, and it's like, I forget what button it was, but you hit the button, and it says, to do this whatever, command, whatever it said. So, to do this, you have to, like, error, to do this thing, you have to format the thing.
It's like, and you're changing something. Yeah. It doesn't even say
this will delete all of your everything that's on your card, you know, like, although if you know what formatting is, you know what that means, but yeah, so it's like, yeah, so
it's a little bit, you know, I'm just saying I've never done that on anything else, you know, accidentally, but I did do it. So that idea that we were going to show everything is out the window.
Yeah. Right. And we talked about a few different things, like what we could do, like use some footage from the first one to like fake it, you know, yeah, I don't know. I think that could be kind of interesting. Like, I don't know. Maybe whatever you do for the transition will be fine. You know, because it's fine. People have already seen everything we've done up to that point. They didn't see any of like the other stuff, right? And that's the other reason why all that kind of footage was a little bit more important, because we started with a bow that was already roughed in. You know, a bow stave, because I had already had a bow stave that was ready to go. So it was like roughed. It was real thick. It was, you know, 1.5 by 2 inches thick, each limb, which is like 1,000-pound draw, you know. So, and it was like a big, it was just blocky and roughed in. So we had to start from that. But so it would have been good to have all that other footage saying like, okay, well, we couldn't start from this like thing that we've already done this for. So now we're going to start from the beginning here. You know, here's a minute of me like taking bark off, taking sapwood off, chasing a growth and cutting it down, tillering it, shaping it, you know, bending it.
But you know. Yeah, and I mean, our original plan, well, I guess maybe was or wasn't to show that, but it was, we mentioned, and I've already edited that part of the video where you're already saying, hey, check it out. Here's a couple, like, you go over and you show a stave not touched, you show the roughed in one you have, and then you show one that has clear rings on it, and you talk about
it.
And talk about if you want to see the process of chasing a growth ring and that type of stuff,
right?
Which is the big important thing. People understand how to, I mean, the roughing in of shaping it down on a bandsaw or something like that, or an axe, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But the difficult thing about Osage is chasing the growth ring, which we went over in depth in the other one. So it's already been done. Right. And that, so that was there. And really, We're backtracking. We got you up to a point where Dustin's tillering, and it's actually getting really close, and we're starting to think, hey, we'll get this done soon. Like, he might be able to shoot it next time we shoot. Like, he's so close, you know? He's got the
it lulled us into a sense of security.
And then
it was
so,
the brace.
So, I mean, people have pretty... They saw as much of it as we planned for them to see.
Originally,
and now... We're adding an extra thing, actually, because we're doing another bow. Not only do you get the content of seeing a bow break, which is not, is I would assume, is pretty rare to capture that on film.
Right, yeah.
Then you're going to see us shift and go, okay, well, here's, the next scene is Dustin walking and then going downstairs and saying, okay, here it is, kind of roughed in where I had it before.
Right.
Caught up a little bit before where the last one ended. And we're going to actually do a little, we're going to add another step, which is this rawhide thing, which is interesting to see and something we've never done.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to continue more and give you a little bit more time lapse of some of the other stuff, a little bit more tailoring, putting the, what do you call them?
The string grooves in.
Right. Putting that, some of that stuff in just to catch us up. So
yeah,
we are losing a lot of the footage that we wanted, but we're still, because it broke, we are still adding more stuff we would have not had a rawhide bow in this stuff like that, so it's we're losing a lot, but hopefully people don't complain, and if they do, whatever, they can talk in the comments and make you know, like, whatever.
Complain all I want in the comments.
They showed like half of one bow and the half of another, like what are we watching, like I don't know, maybe our title would be like making a 100 pound war bow twice,
yeah, exactly,
something like that, you know.
I mean, that's why I was thinking like do a something with, like, you know, holding the broken bow, you know, like, and have that as something with the thumbnail. But
I know, but it's hard to, right? It's hard to, you kind of have to pick one thing. I also have this image of us, which I can talk about, the location that we're trying to do the range test in this tournament thing. It's gorgeous. So I have the idea we're going to do some simple decorations with, like, pennants hanging and some things like that. Just, you know, some flags and stuff just to make it look kind of Renfest-y, you know.
Right, yeah.
So have that shot of you pulling it back with all that stuff in the background. Maybe some of our friends and family that are around. Maybe some of the soldiers, because by then we'll be done shooting them.
Right.
So they can kind of be in the background, like they're coming at you or they're, like, on your side or something. You know, just...
Yeah.
I think it'll make a great thumbnail. So I don't know if we can fit in something else like the broken bow, which probably might also be good. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But so anyway, after we deleted it, we shot today again.
Yeah. So we shot yesterday, did all the applying the backing, the rawhide backing, and then wrapping the staves to, you know, keep it all down really nice while it dries. And then it dried overnight. I brought it upstairs. It stayed in my bedroom with me overnight to stay safe, because it's really, you know, extra damp down in the shop. So to ensure that the glue would dry well, I brought upstairs into the drier, warmer portions of the house.
Nested on it like a mother hen.
I did, yeah. Cuddled with it. Yeah, it's got a nice back set to it, so it was a good little spoon.
Like, why are these rags? Why are these rags mummy? All sweaty? No, that's weird. It gotta wring them out again halfway through the night.
Gross. Yeah. But yeah, so I brought it up with me, and then today we shot again just briefly too, because we wanted to. I wanted to show, like, taking it off and then trimming down the rawhide backing, so it's just the width of the limbs, and then and gluing it down. You know, using a little super glue trick, which I did, like, clean up a little bit since after you left. You know, I sanded it some and cleaned it. You know, got it cleaned up so it's ready to continue with tillering. So I'll continue with that. And, yeah, we shot that today, and then I'll just continue doing tillering, and I'll get some shots, some time lapse of a few different things, and some, you know, some regular speed shots of a few different things, and we'll have that extra footage there. And as long as you, think that's suitable and you don't delete it on me again, then yeah, we'll have it. You know, obviously, like, again, we want to kind of capture as much as possible, because you, like you said, like we've said in the past, you never know when something interesting is going to happen. It doesn't matter what that, if it's, like, dramatic, like catching it breaking, or if it's just some interesting bit of thing that happens, you know, like, or something that happens while we're shooting. And then, like, then I talk about it, you know, it's like, yeah, you can recreate something, but just having that, like, candid moment is really special sometimes. And that's caught some of those fun things over the years that have happened in builds. So, yeah. So I'll shoot it, and then we're still in the timeline. So we're in the timeline for next Saturday to shoot the ending. So we have, what's the plan? Possibly getting together on Sunday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So that means I need to tiller and work and get it, you know, bending well by Sunday. And my in-laws are coming to town Saturday morning. And tomorrow I'm recording, I'll be a guest on the Knives Templars podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'll be doing that tomorrow afternoon. So I'll be recording around 5:30. Usually, I think that podcast usually goes anywhere between, like, an hour and a half to 2.5 hours, like ours can, you know? So yeah. So I'll be on that for a couple hours, and then I'll have a couple hours afterward in the evening. Depending on what the family and friends are doing Friday nights, because we usually do something. But off Saturday morning, I'll have, you know, time on Sunday as well. My in-laws are in town, but we're kind of getting ready for my daughter's birthday, which is on Monday. So, you know, I can spend a couple hours those days tillering. And at this point, you know, tillering can go quicker, right? Because it's big movements until it's little movements, right? So it's not like... There's not a ton of medium movements. And by movements, I mean, like, how much material take off at a time to get to bending limbs, right? It's like you kind of work big, you take a lot of material off, and then things start to bend really well, and then you slow down. And you take just like a little bit, and then you're close. So it doesn't necessarily take a lot of time. You know, it takes a lot of experience to be able to go quick, but it also, you know, when it gets to this, like that transition between when you stop doing the big material remover and you get into the small material removal, that's critical moment, right? So you got to know when to stop so you don't go too far and get to a point where you've got a big hinge in one of your limbs and there's nothing you can do about it unless you want, like, you know, a 30-pound draw bow. So, right, you can always take material off and make it lighter, but for like a usable bow, you want it to be a certain draw weight. So, and ours is aiming it to be like 100 pounds at around somewhere between 28 and 30 inches, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, the anxiety level's going back up.
That's rough.
Yeah, well, you know, the only thing better than breaking a bow in a video is breaking two bows in a video. So,
oh, that'd be so disappointing. Then we got to just stop the whole thing. And we have to move on to the fantasy knife and everything else.
Right. Yeah, because we have the fantasy knife, which is why we're kind of in a, like, that's why it's stressful at this point, is because we have deadlines, right? We have a deadline for this video because we have a deadline for our next video. And that's just the reality of being a content creator, you know, like you got deadlines.
We got to take a year, or you don't have to, but, you know, for the channel, we got to take a year off from those.
I know, no, right?
It's tough, man. It's like every 6 months we get hit with another one. It's great to be in it, but it's like, oh man, we got this. Also, we're rushing to finish this thing.
Right.
Or even, we're rushing to start it right now.
So. Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, the issue is more like that we're not just a knife making channel. Mm-hmm. Right. So we want to do other stuff. And those other things are what make, I think, our channel interesting, right? Is that there's a variety of things that can be made. And obviously not all of them are going to be bangers and they're not all going to hit every time. But I think keeping that variety keeps a wider audience, you know, interested.
Yeah. And this one, I'm really excited about it. We have this stuff planned. We do a skit in the beginning with the bunch of the soldiers walking and like a scene where Dustin's hunting them. You see him in the middle of the video. Dustin kind of walks by one, has a little interaction, just goofy stuff, but just, it'll be packed full of stuff.
Yeah.
This video. It will just be a big, fun, fat video. With hopefully a rawhide backed bow that works great.
Right, exactly.
And we have perfect weather on Saturday to shoot this stuff because I went today. Our dad called me and he's like, hey, if you want to see the farm, because he actually reached out to a friend of his that he's worked with, an Amish guy he knows, and he's got a big, beautiful farm in Pennsylvania, over 100 acres. And I was talking to him about, hey, actually, so I'm like, I may have talked about this last time, but the big field next to us would be a perfect place to shoot this bow thing, but it's got corn right now, and I'm like, do you know what kind of corn it is? I'm asking questions like, do you think it'll be harvested by then? And he's probably not. So I was like, oh, crap, where do we want to go? We thought about doing it near your house, but there's issues with that. And then
The golf course, or even just like our property, but it's not as long as we'd like to have. And
We would just want to let loose and see a big, huge area or a big, huge hill and just shoot them as far as we can and not worry about anything. So we got permission to shoot on this farm of a friend of our dad's and
up in Pennsylvania.
He called me today and we're talking about stuff and I was like, hey, are you nearby? And he actually was. I was like, why don't we just go now?
Yeah,
he's like, okay, I'm here, I'll meet you there. So we drove up there. It's only 15 minutes away from my house, or maybe 20 minutes, but not far at all.
That's right. Yeah, New Freedom, right? Because that's up right across the border, like
New Freedom. It's just up there. It's right near the PA line. And we went up there and we're driving. I'm just looking around like, God, it's really nice up here. I mean, it's nice all around northern Maryland area, but it was like
right.
especially nice. I think we're hitting some more Amish farms, which are more pristine, you know? You don't have a lot of junk around. Yeah, it's right. just like nice buildings and nice clean fields and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden I see our dad's hand reach out and he's pointing over across to the right.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, well, he must be saying these are the fields. And sure enough, because I had already started going like, oh, that's a really nice, really nice spot.
Right.
And I see him pointing over at him like, oh, yes, this is perfect. And then we go and we stop and say hello to, he wasn't there, but we said hello to his family and walked across the street to the field. And it, I mean, I put it on Instagram and maybe I'll take more pictures or something, but it's just this perfect two or three fields. There's a stream in the middle. Yeah. It goes up in the background. There's a perfect hill to shoot off of if we want. That's got a beautiful view from it. It is just like the perfect spot to shoot. I'm super excited. I got that. I was like, this is great. And there, I think he planted wheat or something, hay, something for next year, whatever it is.
Right.
So it's real low. You know, it's already like, it looks just like shrubby, grassy kind of. So it's like perfect. Yeah, it
just looks like a field. Like that would be in England, you know, that they'd be fighting a battle on, you know, like just kind of rolling hill.
And we won't have
kind
to
kind of well, hills we, roll up and trees in the background.
Yeah.
And,
We will have to search for arrows, but it will have much better chance because it won't get caught in some rough. And we'll just, Dad and I were discussing how far we thought they would go and. So we'll see. I was like, well, we'll just take out, once we know the warbow is shooting, then we'll just take it out and shoot one. We'll go to the top of the hill and he'll launch one and we'll go, okay.
And just let her rip.
We'll just start there and then the video will build up.
Yeah.
But we will have to do one behind the scenes just to see where we should even start. Because I don't want to oversell it. And put the guy's way out there, and then all of a sudden, you know, falls 150 yards, which, you know, and then you're like, oh, no, like, it's, you know. But, so I just want to have a general idea, like, oh, that's the max we'll put. Right. Maybe we'll put the whatever, like, right out there, a little beyond that, just to give it a...
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I've never done what that's called in the bow making world is a full send. I've never done a full send, right? You know, like where you're full draw, you're at 45 degree, like optimal angle, and you just let it rip. Like full send. How far is that arrow going to go? And that's like, that's long bow shot, you know? So like when you read that in stories, like they were outside of long bow shot. That's, you know, that's like as far as an arrow can go from a war bow. And like, I don't know what that is. I'm super excited to try it. Like I'm sitting here like getting goosebumps and smiling because like that sounds like so much fun. You know, and having like our buddies there and stuff, people are going to come up and shoot with us and my daughter's going to come and, you know, that it's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. It's just going to be a fun day. We're playing all types of stuff. Like we said last time.
Yeah.
Like prizes and things, and we'll have them spread out to where we're trying to get a gauge of Dustin's distance with the warbow, but then we'll bunch them all up like mid range. You know, where everyone can hit them, where 50 and 40 pound bows can hit them. And we'll do a contest with that and have them all grouped up as if they're a little unit walking across the field. And then we start launching at them. And then we'll bring them
yards or something.
Yeah, then we'll bring them closer where you can actually, you have a pretty good chance of hitting it, you know, if you're halfway decent.
Yeah.
And then they'll just be picking ones. I think this one, and then we'll have random, I think like we said last week, we'll have random amounts assigned to them. And they'll be worse stuff. And we'll just be giving out prizes all day just as if it's like a tournament, and for thanks to these people for you know their help and stuff. It's just fun to have that stuff. And
exactly, it makes it fun for those people. It gives them some like a drive to help out, right? Because we're gonna ask them to come out and help us move, like, you know, move flat, you know, like soldiers around all day. Like, all right, let's all walk out, you know, 800 yards and grab these and walk them back to 500 yards and set them up and come back and then move out of the way and shoot for a bunch and then go and move them again. And, you know, like,
and it does take like a shoot also takes patience.
Yeah. Right.
Anyone who's done like any shooting, like if you're shooting with, it's a lot of patience, a lot of people going like wandering around, like what's going on? What are we doing? We're doing it again. Like, just quiet.
What's that? What are we doing now?
If you don't want to be in it, just like walk away, go somewhere else. We're trying to get this thing done. But it takes a while to get this stuff done.
Yeah.
So I appreciate people hanging around. And so, yeah, it's going to be a blast. We'll plan some things. We'll have dark decorations for the area where we shoot from, but it's just a perfect place. I see some rain in the forecast, but so we'll see. I don't know.
Right on. Yeah.
But that's a week away. Yeah, I think it can change either way, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and again, like we have a date set for that. And that's it's a pretty hard and fast date, but obviously if the bow's not done, it's not done, right? If we can't finish it and can't shoot it, we can't do it on that day. But you know, I'm going to do my best to get it done by that time, which I think is fine. I think I have more than enough time to do it, you know, but, you know, I got to sacrifice a few things like Tuesday and Wednesday. I normally sail. This Tuesday and Wednesday, I didn't sail. I just worked on the bow. But it was kind of cool. I asked my daughter on Tuesday, you know, because she's been sailing with us on our crew on Wednesday night. So I was like, do you want to, you know, I'm not going to be sailing tomorrow night. Do you still want to go? Because Sean lives right up the street. He sails with us. She was like, yeah, I think that's fun. I was like, awesome. That's great. You know, I wasn't really expecting her to say that. But I was super happy that she did, like that she's getting into it enough that she wants to go, even if I'm not going. You know, she's old enough now, obviously. She's, you know, feels confident on the boat, and I think she's starting to like learn it, and she's got a little bit of pride in that. You know, she's proud of herself for understanding. Yeah. Like we've gone out a few times over the summer with like friends and stuff, and I'll ask her to do stuff. You know, like I feel confident saying like, hey, Corinne, can you go to the bow and, you know, help the jib go up the headstay, right? And she understands what that means, you know, or even if she doesn't, she can go up there. She knows where that is, and she can like, and I can guide her from the back of the boat if I'm on, you know, on the tiller or something. And so I'm getting more confident in her ability and her ability to understand like just the terminology of the boat. So Sean came and picked her up and they went sailing and had a good night. They said the winds were really good. It was a beautiful night. And, I asked Corinne, I was like, I asked her this morning, cause I didn't talk to her much last night cause she got home late after, you know, I was shooting for a while. And, I was like, you know, how'd it go? Like, what place did you guys finish? And she was like, I don't know. I was like, what do you mean? Like, where were you? Were you like first or second or third or fourth? And she's like, I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. I was like, what? You're not paying attention. Like, you're racing. That's the whole point. What are you doing? Like, the whole point is to understand where you are and to know what position you got. So she's like, I think maybe there was another boat in front of us. I was like, okay. You know, so obviously she's not like really paying attention. She's there like you've having fun, and all the guys now are having fun. Yeah, right. And apparently, like, I was texting with the rest of the crew today, and one of our crew members was like, yeah, like last night was wild. You know, we broke a bunch of hardware and, you know, and the winds were wild, but it was a great sail. It was a beautiful night. I was like, wait, what? Broke a bunch of hardware? Like, wait, what happened? Like, damn, I take one night off and a whole bunch of shit hits the fan. Like, what the heck is going on? Yeah. But, yeah. But it was cool, you know. So I took the night off, and then, you know, probably next Tuesday I probably won't sail. We actually ended up not, like, the crew I sail with on Tuesday didn't end up going out this week because it was, like, a big storm came through. So, you know, I was like, oh, okay. Well, at least I feel good about that, right? I didn't, like, miss out or let anybody down, you know, because I wasn't there to do my part in the sailing. So,
yeah.
And, you know, and I'm confident in our – in obviously both crews, like, both crews can sail without me, you know, like I think I'm an integral part in both crews, or like I'm a good part of both crews, but you know, it's not, you know, we're all sailors. We all know how to sail the boat. So if someone has to be out for a week or whatever, like we can still race with or without those people. So, so it was okay. But yeah, so I'll do that next week, probably take off Tuesday again and just make sure that's done, and then work, you know, sail Wednesday, and then we'll shoot, Thursday. That'll be the last day that we're able to shoot before Saturday. And hopefully I'll have everything done by that point where we can shoot whatever last little bit we need to, which will be like putting a leather handle on, maybe cutting out an arrow shelf, maybe not. I could not do it. You know, the bow would work.
Where we are with the tarn.
Arrow shelf. Right. Yeah. Right. You know, and that wouldn't take me too long. It's, you know, it's not a super hard process. It's just notching down and then like smoothing it out, you know, cutting out a little knock, you know, it's not a big, big thing. So we do need to make sure we order those arrows to get those here on time. Have we ordered those yet? You sent me some arrows and I was like, yeah, those are good. Let's order them. So
Oh yeah.
We got to do that.
Yeah, add those. So there's some other deck. Yeah, there's some other decoration stuff and things we should order.
Yeah,
you know, tomorrow. Oh, yeah, or
I gotta
whatever.
I gotta make the swords. I gotta make the weapons. Shoot.
I mean, Whew. I don't know. I could probably do some of it as well. It's just general bare bones stuff. If we need to, if it's coming down to it, it's Friday, and we don't have them, or you didn't have time. You know, I'll just make them up real quick Friday during the day before work. But yeah, so if all that works out, then we can get it by the next week. Hopefully, we can get it by Friday night.
Right.
So 2 weeks from now, I've been editing. Well, I've edited a few times to try to catch up.
Right.
And now I will be editing as well. When Dustin's still building it, I'm still building the video. So that has to get done, and then I'll have a few days after the ending the thing to edit all that together and figure that stuff out. So it's a big push for everybody. But we want to do hopefully that next Friday. We want to do the premiere, and we might do it as a premiere just so we can live chat along with people. And then after we'll
definitely do that. Yep.
And then after
so we'll put up. Go ahead.
I think we're.
We'll definitely do the premiere because the premiere is like important to be able to chat with people back and forth, right? So we'll set it up so that way there's a premiere time. People understand. Like we'll set up something as soon as we have a thumbnail, right? Then we can put that thumbnail up with the premiere. And even I guess we don't have to either, right? It could just be like, you know, AOC. You know, as long as it's something that says there's a bow, you know, and then there's a premiere and that, like, you know, it's going to happen on this date at this time.
I've
participated in a few, and those have been fun, you know, like other people's premieres. So we can chat along with people in the comments as we go.
And we can basically put it up. It doesn't have to be days before. We'll just keep talking about it in community and in Instagram and on this. And the day of, we'll be like, hey, premiere, it'll pop up as starting at 7 o'clock tonight on Friday or 8 o'clock, and then we'll do that.
Right.
And then and then we'll have that, and we'll probably do a live stream after where we do a bunch of giveaways, talk about it, maybe shoot bows, just have another shindig with whoever wants to come over and have some drinks and have a good time.
So I think that'll be fun. You know, we did that for the 100,000 subscribers, and we'll do that for the 100th video and do the same thing. Like you say, do some giveaways, you know, some live giveaways while we're doing the a live stream afterward. So, and I know your suggestion was like to wait like 20 minutes or half an hour or so after the premiere, right? Because a lot of times people will watch, if you have a premiere, if they don't get there at the very beginning of it, they'll go back, right? So say they jumped in 10 minutes late, they'll go back to the beginning of that live premiere chat and like follow along with the chat,
right?
You know, so we'll give a little bit of grace period afterward. I don't know, my thought is that like we want to catch them right after, right? So they like finish the video, we finish the premiere, and then they jump right over into the live stream, right? So then we're there like in person.
But
I think, you know,
we can only do one at a time anyway. It's not like we can have the live stream waiting.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Because we're having a premiere. So it needs to, like, finish. That might be processing. I don't even know. No, probably won't once the premiere's done. See, we've never done it, so we don't know exactly how it's going to go. But have that. And then just give people some time.
Yeah.
Because not everyone starts it right. Like, every premiere I've ever, quote-unquote, watched, I've always come in late.
Right.
It's like, this is premiering. I'm never there right when it kicks off. I'm always there 10 or 15, and then I roll it back. And then you know, you can skip through stuff. You can do it.
Yeah.
But then I want everyone to be there. So get just like a half an hour in between. And if the people, like, it doesn't really matter. It's not a huge thing where we're going to get a 10,000 people to come join us. It's just people who like the channel, and they will be there or they won't. Like, it's just come and get some giveaway stuff. You know, if we
get
100 people, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that's not, you know, if there's, you know, 20 people, awesome, you know, hang out, we'll do a live stream. If there's 100 people, that's great. If there's 500 people, that's great. You know, the people who are there are the people who want to be there because they enjoy the channel and they want to, you know, be part of something, right? It's part of something that we're putting out there. And that's what's awesome about it. And that's the people that we want to give those are the people that we want to win. We want them to win the giveaways, right? Because they're the people who want to be there with us, who have put in the time, right, to be part of that stuff. And so that'd be cool. We'll do some like sticker packs. We might do some like, I don't know, we'll do something fun, some giveaways. I have a couple axe heads that I think would be interesting to give away.
And we're not going to send anything, sorry, but if you're out of country, I don't even think we're going to try, because we had issues last time and it's just not worth losing something and people getting upset about it being lost when it's a free thing anyway. So if you're in South America or England or Europe, thank you for coming and we love you, but we can't send you anything, or at least not as a giveaway. If you really want something, maybe Dustin will make it for you and you can pay for it. But
if I could, we could send a, I don't know. We should start an Etsy store, right? And then we could send like a gift certificate through the email, right? Like that's something, you know, an e gift certificate for something or other. You know,
right.
But
yeah,
I don't know. Be like, here's a free link to our Patreon page.
an e card. We'll send you an e card.
Yeah, right. For those who are participating, thanks for coming.
What do you call it? NFT?
Intellectual property.
we'll do a, like it's, a or it's, physical, it's a yeah, digital. It's a digital yeah,
yeah, whatever. Like a one off, yeah. There's actually I was listening to the Work For It podcast today. It's been a little while since I've listened, you know, just I've been super busy. I haven't listened to any podcast really for like weeks. I was just like getting back to school, driving back, you know, and forth to school actually to have time to like listen. So I listened to like Knife Talk for the first time in weeks. I listened to the Work For It podcast. I went back and I was listening to like an old episode of the Fits All podcast. And then I saw today that they have another episode coming out, because they don't do like consistent podcast episodes. It's like whenever they want to do one, you know. So that's right. Jimmy DiResta and Andrew Alexander and Eric from Hantel Rescue. They do that podcast, which is hilarious. They're fun together. So I was like listening to an old podcast of that and listening to a sailing podcast, and I'm like all back into it. So I was listening to the Work For It podcast, and they at one point they were talking about another podcast called Making Our Way podcast. And so Brian was on Making Our Way podcast a little while ago or so, and they were just talking about it, but they mentioned that they're doing a Christmas tree ornament exchange. Like, so what you're going to do is like anyone who wants to make an ornament, you just make it. And then I think it's by like November 21st or November or something. There's a date in there, but the end of November, mid to the end of November, you have until that time to make your ornament. And then you basically just send them a thing saying, I've made this ornament. Here's a picture of it. I'd like to participate. And then they will, once they collect all those people, then they'll exchange, they'll send out information to who you're sending it to, and then you just send it to somebody. That's, you know, nice. So then so I was like, that's kind of cool, so we could definitely do something with that. I think that'd be fun to participate, right? We've got like, I don't know, I got all sorts of stuff in the shop that could be nice, would make an interesting, you know, like
4-pound axe ornament. Head
yeah right yeah exactly
gotta get one of those thick branches close to the
real close to the middle. It's gotta be all the way in. You gotta
bury that baby.
Push some lights in around it, you know, nice and deep in.
No, it's a booby. Like, it's a booby trap for when the cat tries to climb the tree.
The axe head's inside. But you know, I was thinking like we have pieces of like axe or pieces of knife handle and, you know, things that I've like cut off and things and things that are kind of cool looking, like some exotic wood that is, you know, it's got like a lanyard hole through it. And like, what are you going to do with that? Like, we've thought about making little keychains and doing giveaways and stuff of little bits of different projects we've done on, you know, the Art of Craftsmanship. So I thought maybe we could do something with that. Right.
How about,
cause it's like, it's an ornament and it's just the fact that it's from a maker, you know, in the community somewhere. So,
so everyone's doing just normal ornaments, but no one's doing the topper. So just your head.
Oh man.
Your eyes glowing and your teeth. Like, it's a bold move.
Just make a mini version of our AOC sign and make it the topper. You put it on the top of the tree. AOC.
Honey, what happened backlit to our baby angel? That's Dustin's face. Who's Dustin?
He's the coolest guy on come YouTube. On.
Let's do his podcast. Great.
Yeah. So that'd be kind of cool. I just thought it was kind of fun. And, you know,
it's kind of like the church exchange back in the day where everyone would bring an ornament and put their last name on it and you would like take them off the tree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Remember we that? Did do that. Yeah. Right, so yeah, everyone put an ornament on the tree, all the different families and stuff. Yeah, and then at the end of the season, you just take one someone else's, right? And it's got their name like on a piece of tape on the back. And
yeah, there was always a couple good ones everyone was eyeing up.
Yeah, the whole season while you're like sitting there and trying to pay attention to the sermon, you're actually looking at the tree and looking for like the good like multi-level like brass ones, you know? Like
that one lights up, you put a light in it. I think there's like movement to it. How do you get it to move? There's bubbles, like...
Right, exactly.
When my mom's like, all right, you better get that. You go quick. Mom. Go, you gotta run up.
Yeah, exactly. You want extra butterscotches? You better hurry up and get that one.
Yeah. Yeah, we get and we get two families. We get an O'Hara and a Miller. So we get
two
brothers run interference. Two brothers would put a pick up on some of the fast kids and the others would slip by.
Or the old men trying to get up there quick. Bam.
Watch it, Deacon.
Hip check. Deacon.
Pow.
Come on, Doug. Hip check him into the Merv.
This is my house. It's the Lord's house most of the week. Mine today.
Today it's my house. But it's like a soft ask, right? So that's kind of an interesting thing, right? To do an ornament. It's not like super big. You know, it's got to be light. So it's going to be probably something that's not going to take a ton of time. You know, so like, you know, obviously you want to make something that's cool and has like some significance to who you are as a maker. So that way when you get someone else's, you're like, oh, that's cool. You know, they actually, you know, this is what they do. It relates back to what they do. So,
you know,
we got a lot of stuff like that.
Cool is to do some type, even if it's just our channel working with people who watch or other channels.
Right.
We could do like an international. I know we said we didn't want to send stuff, but if it's not axes and knives, maybe they'll let it across the border, but some type of flag exchange, but you could do your flag in like a designer way, like cut out a wood or something.
Yeah,
then you could send like, oh, so then we'd have a bunch of small, you know, you'll do like postcard size.
Mm-hmm.
So we could get stuff from creators from you know, all over Europe and Australia and South America. Cool. You know, Africa and wherever. So then we'd have these little trinkets made by people from all over. And then obviously we'll send them, you know, a USA one and they can put that wherever they want. But, you know, you could have an area of all like, hey, we've got all these people from all over the world.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Like, I like that. Like a postcard exchange. Mm-hmm. But maybe like a handmade postcard exchange. You know what I mean? Like, so you got to do something. So you're obviously it's just a single card, right? And on one side is your note and your address and whatnot, and the other side is some drawing or something you made. Like maybe it's printed, maybe it's laser like etched, maybe it's hand drawn, painted. Who knows, right? That you're like creating something on the side. Maybe it's a sticker. Maybe it's a little collage. You know, like any like 2D thing that you can send in the mail. So it's like these little bits of artwork from different makers around the world. Or around, you know, from wherever. That's kind of cool. I like that. Okay. We can start thinking about that.
Steal that idea.
Yeah. No, you know, that's there's always different people doing different stuff, different exchanges. You know, I've done like axe exchanges and
yeah, but that's yeah, that's nice. It costs nothing to send it,
right? Yeah,
relatively, postcard. You know, and, yeah. and then you get something cool, and then we can put it up. We'll put it up in the shop if someone sends us something like that. We'll put it up on the Cracker Barrel wall or find a spot for it. And
yeah, all right, I like that. Maybe I'll do a post, and we'll do something with like postcard exchange. You know, reach out through DM to the Art of Craftsmanship or the Art of Camera Guy if you're interested in doing an exchange for, you know, a postcard. And I guess, you know, I don't know. I want to say handmade, but also if someone's got like, you know, a cool picture of their town in the Swiss Alps, you know, like,
yeah, maybe so that's maybe the card, something, you know? It doesn't necessarily have to be the flag of your country. It can be,
right.
But maybe something local to you about your community. Yeah. Like a something you drew of a nearby thing or something that came from a mill in your town or like, yeah, I mean, we can make a stamp or something that we can send to a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, do some, a print, right. Some, make a print a bunch. Yeah.
Or a slight, you know, kind of a, you, we could do a stamp and then Dusty, you could do some watercolor.
Right. Yep.
Accents to like an American flag or to something to, you know, Baltimore or maybe the Maryland flag with like hand painted accents of yellow and red and black and stuff like.
Right. That'd be kind of cool.
Maryland flag would be cool, actually, because then you can exchange that with other people in the States.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking that too, right? Because you mentioned flags. So I was like, well, we don't want to have it just people who are outside of our country, right? We don't want to have, well, we don't necessarily want to have like 50 American flags and then three of a different country, right? Right. But if we had state flags, that would be cool, right?
So yeah, like so it would be like, place. Yeah, you can do country, you can do province, whatever you have in your country.
Right.
And then we have states. So you can do states or just a picture of a local area or something. Yeah, that'd be cool, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to make it a bigger thing, but I'm also selfish. Like, I want everybody to send it to us. So maybe it's just going to be our thing. If you want, yeah, maybe we'll do like a big printing of a bunch of cards, we'll
just,
you know,
yeah, that, it'll are just like, be, that are kind of cool. Be, yeah, and we can make done, a video of it.
Yeah.
Make a video of it, like these international cards or whatever. And yeah, and we'll just have it. That'll be our thing for us putting stuff on the wall. It's like your community cork board is to have people send us one and then we'll send you one right back. You know?
And I'm going to find some more space in the shop. Damn. That's all right. You know, we got lots. There's lots of space in the shop. It might not be one wall. It might be all over the place. We're going to have things hanging everywhere. I like it. That's cool. It's going to be a burn down my house. No, that's cool. Okay. All right. I like that. I'm going to do that. So if you're listening and you're interested in participating, I know we have people from all over the place, all over the world who are listening. So, look for a post. I'll put a post up that kind of just briefly describes what we're asking. And if you're interested, just shoot us some information and, you know, send me a DM or send Devin a DM and through Instagram, and we'll figure it out that way.
We'll give you a PO box that we let go. We got to get it back.
We'll get another one. Yeah, right. Exactly.
There's we got a post office in our general area that we'll just have a bunch of stuff sent to, and then
yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, and also, you know, like other than Instagram too. If you don't have Instagram, you're listening, you could also always just send an email to theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com. So that's the main, you know, our Instagram or our Gmail email account. So cool. I like that. That's cool. Right on. Nice. Okay, cool. Anything else? We'll be ready. What was I going to say? Something else. Oh, I've been, we're going to do like kind of an interesting thing with Brandon Roos from Whiskey River. Might have him on the podcast in the near future. So listen out for that. If you do follow me on Instagram, you will have seen my Instagram post where I'm receiving a box from Brandon, you know, with like a nice long box, which always is a box of axe handles, which I'm super pumped about. So we got some axe handles and we're going to do a little video with some stuff and shout him out. And we're working on a little bit of a partnership with Whiskey River. So, you know, keep your eye out, your eyes and ears out for some more information on that. I think I won't talk too much about it because it'd be kind of cool to talk to Brandon about it. And I think, you know, he's on board to be on the podcast the next couple weeks. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. There we go.
All right. Right on. All right, everybody. Well, again, you know, you can always head over to Instagram, follow us both there if you're not already.
What? You didn't recommend anything.
Oh, recommendations. Oh.
Recommendations.
Recommendations.
I'll do one real quick. For general camera stuff, when I was searching for cameras way back when to start this channel, he went by a different name. He worked for a camera company, but it's Kai W. K-A-I and then W. That's his name. But he does great camera reviews, really good stuff.
Is he on YouTube?
On YouTube, yep. I mean,
okay.
He's got, again, he's big enough where he doesn't need us. He's almost got 1 million subscribers.
Right, yeah.
But he's
all right. Great. Yeah, and we shout out people we like. It doesn't matter
great,
who they are.
Great channel. He's got like pretty much any camera that if you're thinking about getting, he's definitely reviewed it. He's kind of funny, dry wit. I think he's Korean. I'm not even gonna guess. He's an Asian guy with a really thick British accent.
Nice.
And for a while, I think he lived. I'm not even gonna guess where, but somewhere.
Somewhere.
He lives somewhere. Somewhere in the east. Somewhere.
Somewhere. He's some type of Asian,
but
lives somewhere
with a thick British accent. But no, he's great and funny, and all his reviews are awesome. But kind of entertaining, and he'll take old lenses, put them on new cameras and do this and walk around and just talk and take pictures. And it's a great channel. Yeah. So check it out if you have any interest in pretty much anything cameras. He's talked about everything, like video, still,
nice,
lenses, drones, all that stuff. He's great.
Right. Right on. I've kind of a funny story about that. So when I was in college, my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, she took a semester abroad in England, and I went and visited her for a week while she was over there. That was during our junior year, and we were on the tube, which is what they call the subway in London. I think it was a grocery store, whatever, but I was walking around and I saw a little Asian girl with her mom, right, in the hall, in the aisle. We're sitting there, okay, well, there's whatever, walking up and down. And then she spoke to her mom and was like, "Mommy, I want the blah, blah, blah," something. And it was like the most beautiful little English accent coming out of this little, like, Asian girl. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, it just, like, I had this, like, little, like, huh. How about that? Like, there are different people. There are, like, all sorts of different people in different countries that were, you know, ancestrally or not from that country, but they lived there long enough. But, that, like, you know, that's our melting pot of the USA, right, is everyone from everywhere can come and find, you know, a home in the US or, like, or in London or anywhere in the world, right? They can move wherever they want and live wherever they want. And, like, that little girl, this little Asian girl, was, like, had grown up in London, right? So she had a little British accent. It was so cute. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
it's one of those things you don't think about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because here, you know, we have, like, if you have someone who's not just a white person, right, then, like, they either have just as, or you know, a normal American accent, right, which we don't hear, right? That's just our accent. Or they have, like, an accent that leans back toward their original, you know, family country, right? Where they're mm-hmm. from, where, like, you know, where they're from, like, an Asian country, an African country, or Spanish, or, you know, French, or whatever. So, like, you expect to hear either American or the nationality that they look, you know? So it was like this, like, really right. cool light bulb that went off in my head. I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, what a cool thing to experience. There's this, like, whole different culture, different people who are also from wherever in the world, and they moved wherever and they live wherever. And I don't know. It was a little light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Look at you. Little British Asian girl. You're so cute. That was funny, but cool. All right. Well, So my recommendation this week, I had a few thinking about cultural things. One is a skit on Saturday Night Live that I have watched multiple times and laugh hysterically every time I do.
Didn't you already recommend that?
Which one?
You can go ahead. Is it the Tom Hanks one?
Yeah. Did I recommend it? Mm-hmm. Like a while back? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I just watched it again. So it's Black Jeopardy with Tom Hanks. It's so funny. It's like the funniest skit. So if you've never watched it, go listen. Go search it on YouTube, Black Jeopardy with Tom Hanks from Saturday Night Live. It's like the funniest skit. Somehow that came across my feed today and I was watching it. So I was like, oh, that'd be another recommendation. And also, like what I was mentioning earlier, a couple podcasts, the Making Our Way podcast, right? So I talked about that with their Ornament Exchange. So check that out. They're kind of interesting podcast. And then, the Knives Templars podcast, which I will be on, tomorrow recording. And then that episode will come out on Monday, but take a listen. They do a really awesome job. It's a bunch of knife makers talking about knife making. They bring different guests on. They always do, like multiple hosts. So you have like four or five hosts and then they'll have like a guest on. And it's this kind of rotating group of people that are all these, what we call the group of the Knives Templars. And we have a Facebook chat that's going with a whole bunch of guys that are all just like posting pictures of knives they're making and talking about things and what they've been doing. So it's just kind of this nice like little community, similar to like what we have with the Knife Making Challenge. And actually Eric Rivers from the Rivers Experience is one of the Knives Templars, right? He's one of the hosts. So yeah, I'll be on recording with them tomorrow. So if you're interested in knife making or just listening to a bunch of dudes talk about fun stuff, you can check it out. And that'll be coming out on Monday. And that's, again, like on any of the podcasting platforms that you normally listen to podcasts on. So the Knives Templars. So, yeah, that's it. Cool. Couple recommendations. But all right, guys. Well, back to where I was before. Head over to Instagram, follow us there, The Art of Craftsmanship, The Art of Camera Guy, to get all sorts of different behind-the-scenes stuff if you are interested in participating in the newly thought of on the spot, if you've been listening.
It's where our best ideas come from.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect. The postcard exchange. We will start something with that. Once we flesh that out a little bit more, what we want to do, we'll figure out what we want to do on our end. That's something kind of interesting and cool and not just like we were kind of thinking, like not exactly the same for every person we send it to, but something that's a little special. We'll figure out something. And then when we do, I'll post about it sometime in the next couple weeks. And then, and then if you're interested in that, like send us a message. Devin, you want to talk about the person who sent you a message on Instagram this week? Real briefly.
Yeah, sure. No, just forget the name, but someone just reached out and said they did. They did sign up for the ad stuff that we got kicked off of.
Right, for Skillshare. Yeah.
I don't want to give away his name.
Right. So yeah. Bob. Thank you. So yeah, someone reached out to Devin to say like, hey, I'm not sure, you know, what analytics they were looking at, but he said that he did follow our link and he signed up for Skillshare. So thank you so much, Bob. We really appreciate it. You know who you are. We're going to leave it at that just in case you don't want your name shouted out there in the world. But, you know, we appreciate it because we know people listen and we know people want to support us, and whether or not like they're going to support us through Skillshare, of course, that's your prerogative. You don't have to. Like, we lost the Skillshare thing because the people who we were talking to didn't want to do it. Like, that's fine. I didn't want to sign up for Skillshare. Like, I think it's great. Like, when I had the free membership to be able to look through stuff while we were doing our sponsorship, it's a really cool service and they have all sorts of great stuff. But we put stuff out on YouTube to give that stuff out for free. And, you know, that's like, that's the community we're putting it out there for. So if some of you find some, you know, value in Skillshare and you do sign up, that's awesome. And if not, that's fine too. And so for Bob, we really appreciate you reaching out and letting us know that it you know, that was kind of a nice thing. It made us both smile. That like maybe there were some people out there that did sign up and somehow it slipped through the cracks and who knows,
or they just who knows, but
we appreciate it. All right, so lastly, head over to YouTube, check us out there, look for our premiere coming up in the next week and a half or 2 weeks or so. The idea is that we're going to put out, we're going to do the premiere in two Fridays from today that you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening on the day that it comes out. So the premiere will be there. We'll do that, and we'll do a live stream that night. And you can hang out and maybe win some prizes and chat and, you know, and commiserate with the broken bow and all the steps we went through. Maybe we'll have the bow there. We can, like, shoot it, you know, on live. That'd be kind of cool. So,
not the broken one.
Not the broken one. We'll bring the broken one along. Maybe we'll cut it up into bits and yeah. give pieces of that off. I can send it out.
That would be
mail.
Fun. We'll set up a couple floodlights and put a target yeah. up and have a couple yeah. games and stuff, shoot some stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so check us out there on YouTube. Subscribe if you haven't already. Like, comment, let us know what you think. And for those of you who want to support us a little bit further, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and support us there. So we really appreciate that. And all that money goes right back into the channel to make cool content for you guys and to, like, buy wood to cut out soldiers to make, like, a fun cinematic ending to wild videos and, you know, hardware and what else, you know, all of it goes back into the channel. It's just fun. It's fun making this, and it's fun being part of this community. So we thank everybody who is supporting us that way over at Patreon. All right. That's all, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back to you next week with the Four Brothers Podcast, episode 100. Please tune in, listen. It's going to be a blast. Next time on the podcast. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you then.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.